Beware, contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
That's the sound of me peeing. That's fun.
Hi, guys.
You did, in fact, just hear me pee, and then I washed my hands, but I edited that part out, so don't think I'm gross. I know you're probably thinking, Lucas, we've been here before. We've already been in the bathtub together. And I'm thinking, yeah, we have, but we're gonna do it again. Sometimes you invite strangers into your bathtub and you wanna do it again because it was fun the first time. And because you wanna do Q&As and you didn't know what else to do, so you decided to do it in a bathtub because that would attract the type of viewers you wanted.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Vera Speaks For Real. When you want to hear some kitschy little Halloween stuff that gets repeated the exact same year after year, then you should check out Vera Speaks For Real. Check it out on the interweb at veraspeaks.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for a spooky, yet repeating, discount. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Vera Speaks For Real free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. How are you? How have you been?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are
Long
you?
Long time no see.
I know. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, since the last time we did the show together.
How many weeks ago was that, Adam?
It would be dos semanas.
Yeah, but in English, how many?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know if semanas is the word for week.
I don't know. Like
it sounded right, but yeah. That might be weekend. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. How many weeks ago was it?
Two.
you're specifically like you are.
I don't know of this thing that I have with that.
You and Vincent Price both have this.
Yeah,
there's a name for it. It's not a diphthong or whatever, but you and Vincent Price both share this thing because he used to do it when he would talk, when he was hawking some kind of bathroom cleaner, and he would talk about mildew. But you say
maybe
chew.
I just overpronounce words.
You say chew,
That's for Tuesday, because
Tuesday.
I think it's Tuesday.
Right, but you also use it for the number, too. Anyway, you know what, Adam? It is 9:16 p.m.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm saying. It is 9:16 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and there's, of course, that can, of course, only mean... See, we miss a week, and I've already forgotten what the fuck I'm saying. Let's try this again.
I missed a week. You didn't miss a week. What did you do last week?
I don't know. I don't know what I did last week. Let's not ever talk about last week ever again. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. By the way, Vera Charles filled in last week. Thank you very much, Auntie Vera, for
and
filling
in. And
is
in the chat room right now.
She is. Hi, Auntie Vera. But you know what? There's other people in the chat room, but let me get this out, and then we can do that, because it is 9:17 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that can, of course, mean only one thing, that we are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room, Adam, who is joining us in the chat room this evening.
Oh, I'm not looking at the amazing chat room. Is there another one that I'm not in? We have Auntie Vera Charles, Lamont Cranston, Lewis, Mags, I think that's a bad word, but I'm going to say it.
Pendejo.
Pendejo.
Yes.
I think that's a bad word.
I don't
RT Cruiser, and that's it. So if you're a listener of the show and you're not in the chat room right now, where the hell are you?
Where the hell are you? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you here in the chat room? Yeah, they're probably doing things. They're probably, doing things out and about. You know what? Today is October 4th. I don't know if you know this or not, Adam, but many of the folks in California are at Gay Days at Disney, which is being held over in the Anaheim Park, where I will be in just a little over 4 weeks. I'll be at the...
Why do they have Gay Days on a Sunday?
Because most people don't work on Sunday.
Wait a minute. Are there multiple days of this gayness?
All right, here's the thing.
Because it's called Gay Days.
I know. Now, no, it's not necessarily.
So it's Gay Days.
No, hold on. Stop right there. I don't know what it's called in California. It could be called Gay Day in California. I will tell you this. The original event that happened in Florida was called Gay Day at Disney. It was started by a group called Digital Queers. Do you remember them?
The name sounds familiar, but
there was a nonprofit organization that was formed early in the like late 80s, early 90s called Digital Queers, which was basically a bunch of gay IT professionals that would help the HRC and any other gay organization help them with their technology, like help them get their email set up, help them get web presence set up, help them basically, you know, get modernized and whatnot. And as life moved on and technology improved, yeah, Digital Queers never really caught on because most of those people got absorbed into those organizations anyway, so there didn't need to be a separate, you know, there didn't need to be an IT department for gay groups. But the original Gay Day at Disney was set up by Digital Queers, and it was just a very informal, there was no money being made, there was no nothing being, you know, it was just a very simple, hey, if you're a Florida resident, come to Disney, it's during your pass, you know, period where you can get in for free and wear a red shirt and be seen on this particular day. And then after about 4 years of it doing really well, then the circuit party people started coming in. And then that's when it became Gay Days, which is a completely for-profit group that does, you know, they do circuit parties and they have sponsors and they made it into a multi-day event, you know, where it's like 5 days and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know that it's happened like that in Anaheim.
Okay.
So I don't know. Now, someone in the meantime, someone linked in the chat room that it is gaydaysanaheim.com.
Gay Days Anaheim. Digital right. Queer or Digital Queers? Gay Day or Gay Days?
There you go. So,
if it's called Gay Days and it's only happening on one day.
No, it's happened. You remember, there's two parks there. And so what Lamont Cranston is saying, they pushed it back and started it a few years ago. Or they pushed it back and started it a few years ago.
I just need to know which days I need to be gay on.
Yes.
That's it.
You know, and so here's the thing. In Florida, there's, you know, there's 4 theme parks at Disney World, and then there's another 2 theme parks if you count Universal Studios. So that's why they've made it into like this whole 7-day event, right? So it's like you get there the one day, you register at the hotel, and then on Monday, you go to Universal Studios, and on Tuesday, you go to Islands of Adventure, and on Wednesday, you go to Animal Kingdom, and on Thursday, but it's always the last day is always the kingdom, right? That's the big day. Is that like, and it's Saturday in Florida, but here in California, or not here in California, but in California, I don't know. I know that when I talked to friend of the show, Joe Batance, earlier today, he was at California Adventure. He was not at the Kingdom. He was at California Adventure.
Lovely. He said it was a rat fuck, is what I recall him saying.
Right. Exactly.
And I said, I've never heard anyone use that term before.
Right.
But okay.
Now, for those of you who are not, you know, live in the chat room, you cannot see the picture that Pendejo posted in the chat room. But it is someone proposing to their same-sex partner at Disneyland. Are you seeing this picture, Adam?
I saw the picture.
Can
yes.
you tell? Do you know how I know that that is Disneyland and not Disney World?
There's probably some reason, like the number of spires on the castle.
Oh, no, it's much simpler than that. But it's because that castle is in danger of being trampled by the size of that guy's feet. It's like the California castle is the tiniest. Do you remember the photo mats that they used to have in the parking lots of malls?
Yeah.
That is the Disneyland castle.
Yeah, it's it is much different than the Disney World.
The Disney World castle is Snow White's castle. And it's, you know, a fairly large size castle. The one in California is Cinderella's castle, and she is a petite lass.
Could not afford.
Did I have this wrong? I have this wrong. California is Snow White's, and in Florida, it is Sleeping Beauty.
No. I honestly don't know.
Cinderella. It's Cinderella in Florida. Oh, God damn. It's Cinderella in Florida. It is Snow White in California, and it's Belle in Euro Disney.
Here's what I want to know. If you're saying these digital queers started Gay Days.
Gay Day, yes.
Gay Day.
Yes.
Are they the ones that decided that you were supposed to wear a red shirt specifically?
Yes.
Well, you know, any geek, any person that would call themselves a geek, which if the name of your organization is Digital Queers, I assume these are geeky individuals.
That is correct.
You would not want to wear a red shirt.
Why?
Because those are the people that always die in Star Trek.
This is true.
I don't want to wear, you know, that's saying, you know.
It's also, two things. Number one, there's a buzz coming from your side intermittently, and you're going to hear it back in the recording. It's going to drive you nuts. There's some kind of fuzzy buzz coming through your mixer. And number two, it was more for visibility, right? It was more like if you wear a bright red shirt, you're going to stand out in the crowd. Because most people don't want to die, so they don't wear red shirts. Also, it's usually just one red shirt that dies. Not, you know, there's safety in numbers.
Right. So concerning the buzz, I don't hear a buzz over here, so I don't know how I can get rid of it.
Okay, great. I was just letting you know that it existed. You know what? My God, we have just been like, we haven't talked about anything.
No, that's true. We have not.
All right.
So we can rectify that right now.
Let's do that, Adam.
Talk about something.
All right. First of all, I would like to say thank you to our previously person. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, at every show, we start off with a previously on Dubious Intent Plus. And we have recordings from many different people who have taken the time out of their life to record that for us. And if you would like to be included amongst those, it's very easy. All you have to do is just record that, just that simple phrase, previously on Dubious Intent Plus, and email it to us. That's all you have to do. However, tonight's person that we used was Taylor the Latte Boy. Are you familiar with Taylor the Latte Boy?
I am. He is currently doing a little science experiment, sleeping naked.
I was going to say he's from that show called Pod is My Co-Pilot, I think. I think that's the name of it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, Daniel, that's right.
Is that Taylor the Latte Boy from Pod is My Co-Pilot? Make sure you check them out.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I'm assuming that was a mistake. So for those of you who either have not listened to or don't listen to Pod is My Co-Pilot.
Right, how dare you?
The most recent episode, which he did with the Game Night guys, actually.
Yes.
Taylor was obviously recording himself on the wrong microphone.
He was recording himself from the internal microphone of his computer instead of the microphone in front of his face. So, and he asked, I knew that this happened right after it happened because he texted me. He was just like, is there any way for me to fix this? And I'm like, no, you can re-record it. You can listen to it in one ear and basically just repeat everything you said. But other than that, no, there's no real way to fix it. So that's, And he was like, you know what? I could do that, except I don't think, you know, the laughter would come across as being disingenuous.
Yeah.
So
I did notice that. I listened to the episode yesterday.
Well, there you go. All right. So anyway, a very big thank you to Twitter. A very big thank you. This is why I shouldn't read and talk at the same time. A very big thank you to Pod is My Co-Pilot Taylor for doing the intro for us. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, now we can move on. Adam, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
If you were to walk into a Walmart right now, right at this very moment, and there was an item on sale for $20, and you were to take it up to the register, how much would you pay for that item?
Well, it all depends on what the item is, but if it were an item that were covered on the discounted items, I would pay,
$19
minus 10%.
$19.80.
So something like that.
Correct. Now, there was a moment in time, or actually a very large period of time on Friday, where you may have had to pay $20 for that item. So go ahead and tell us about that.
Well, yeah. So ever since August, my stepfather, I don't know, I was talking to my stepfather at some point, and he says, have you been reading all the news articles about Walmart getting rid of, you know, laying off like thousands of people and all? And, you know, I'm clueless, whatever. I was like, no, what? I haven't heard anything. And I really didn't think much about it. But then in a meeting a couple of weeks later, my boss, you know, mentioned that it may happen, that some people may lose their jobs, whatever. I think I may even talked about it on this show where I told him that this other company in town was hiring and maybe I should go, you know, put in an application there. And like,
so we brought in some bagels today. Help yourself to those or some cream cheese over there. Oh, yeah. And by the way, we're going to be laying off about 500 people. So you might. But that's, you so know, anyway, but enjoy the bagels.
in the next one on one, he was like telling me he was going to promote me by the end of the year and stuff like that. But anyway, so I get to work on. So another news story comes out on Thursday saying that Walmart was going to lay off up to, I don't know, 500 people, something like that. And this article, amazingly, even said the person who wrote the article knew more than I did. So they say in the article, and this was on Wall Street Journal, I believe, they say HR associates have been booking rooms for Friday. So I go into Outlook and I look, and sure enough, there's this block from like 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday where like all of the rooms are booked. Like it's funny. They say maintenance.
Right.
You know, like they're going to, oh, yeah, we're just, all the rooms needed some
asbestos painting. Removal.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And we just went through a remodel. So it's like, whatever, maintenance. What are they doing in there?
Watch out for falling employee numbers.
Right. What a lie. I mean, what a lie. I mean, we're reading it in the Wall Street Journal and they're telling us they're doing maintenance on rooms. But anyway,
in fairness, though, Walmart employs 2.2 million people. So laying off, you know, 500 or 600 people is nothing.
Well, okay, yes, that is true. But this was all home office employees.
All right. And you thought that home office only employed 5,000. There's actually 14,000. And that's a 2012 number. So it's now 3 years later. So who knows how many, there could be 15,000 working there now. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so long story short, I was really nervous on Friday. Although I had been told, you know, there was nothing for us to worry about, because I'm pretty blunt. I'm pretty just whatever. I say whatever's on my mind. So I just kind of went up to my manager on Thursday. I was like, hey, do I need to be worried about anything tomorrow? Like, he's going to know anyway. But he says, no, no, no. This team has nothing to worry about, blah, blah, blah.
Now, have you seen him since Friday? Maybe he was one of the people.
He was not.
Maybe he was one of the people that was let go.
He was not. So we get there. And I don't know if you've ever gone through a layoff, but we all get to work. And, you know, there are meeting rooms all around. So everyone's trying to avoid the meeting rooms, you know, kind of sneaking around, you know, at their desk.
Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact.
You know, exactly. And then if you don't see someone, you know, somebody that you normally see every day, you're like, I wonder if they're gone.
Oh, my God. Like, they've got Kenny.
I haven't seen Bob all day. Did you see him go into a meeting room this morning by any chance? Yeah. You know.
So basically, it's the most non-productive day ever. Even the people that aren't being fired don't do any work because they're all just like gossiping all day long.
Exactly. It's like snow day, except, you know, maybe not in a good way. So anyway, by about noon, I knew that I was safe because they were pretty much done axing people by noon. But we did lose three managers.
Yes.
And we lost a senior manager. I think this is horrible. This guy started out with Walmart as a cart pusher.
I started off in this company pushing the carts.
And he had worked his way up to a senior manager.
Sam Walton himself used to spit on me in the mornings.
And he worked his way up to a senior manager, and he's been with the company for 30 years.
Wow.
And he's only like 50. He's only like 50.
Yeah. So, I mean, he got laid off?
And he got laid off, and he's been with it. Now, the good thing about being with the company for 30 years is I was told that the severance package is 2 weeks of pay for every year you've been with the company.
Yeah.
So if you've been with the company for 30 years, you're getting over a year's worth of salary plus some other stuff. So, you know, he has a plenty of time to find another job and has salary and all that. But anyway, so yeah, it was sad. When, you know, we had meetings in the afternoon. What really drives me crazy?
Yes.
And this is the last thing I'm going to say about this.
Okay, good.
Is we got three different emails, one from the CEO, which I'm sure everybody read who read the article on the Wall Street Journal, one from the CIO, and one from like one of the VPs that's over the technology area. And they all say they all have to put it in this politically correct to meet the changing needs of our customers and to move with the speed required in this agile, you know, technological age. You know, we have to make some changes in the organization to deliver what our customers demand.
Now, I can't help but notice that this was done on the first of the month, right?
Well, it was Friday, so that would have been
But these decisions were made on the first of the month. It was like those people that I would like to find out, though, those people that got laid off, did they wake up Thursday morning and say rabbit, rabbit, very first thing?
Maybe not.
Clearly, they did not, because they did not have good luck. They were laid off.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it. I just want to get an email saying, you know what? We have to cut some cost, and so we're getting rid of people. Sorry. You know, something like that. I mean, don't be making up some shit. Oh, we have to move with the speed of lightning like our customers demand. And we have to, whatever.
We have to move faster, faster than rubber isn't slick enough to make us move as fast as we need to move.
Right.
What they're saying.
I mean, now, we need some lube.
We need some lube. We need to cut out some people so we can fit in some lube here. What they're saying. You know what, Adam? This weekend, I'm happy to, by the way, I didn't mean to dismiss you there. I'm happy that you were not laid off. Is that why you're drinking a daiquiri tonight on a Sunday night?
Me too. No, it's because it was Mark's birthday. We'll talk about
that. Oh, that's right. You had the traditional Filipino daiquiri machine at the party. That's
right.
Correct.
Yes. Exactly.
I was going to say that this weekend was my high school reunion.
Oh, and how was that? Did you go?
I didn't. You know what? I wrestled with this for a little while because I haven't been to any of my class reunions, and I was just like, So when I found out about this one, I was talking to a friend of the show, Auntie Vera Charles, who gave me the sage advice of reunions are what we did before we had Facebook. And I kind of have to agree with that. And I know that people all had different experiences in high school, whatever. High school was a miserable fucking time for me. It was, I didn't have friends. You know, I mean, I did fine, whatever. I mean, I had a lot of teachers that were friends, but I mean, I didn't have any like student friends, or what few friends I had were female. So I couldn't like do things with them on the weekend and everything. So it was just it was weird. It was an awkward time. I was wrestling with, you know, being gay and not wanting anyone to find that out and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it was just a god awful time. And I sang at most of the events. So a lot of people knew me because I performed, right? So they knew me, like I sang at graduation or I sang at the assemblies. So it's like, so I was known, but I wasn't in the popular crowd, right? It was just one of those, oh, there's Daniel. Yeah, we know him. Anyway, so it's just, to me, it's like to spend money to fly down to Florida to hang out with a bunch of people that I really didn't care for back then. Just made no sense to me. So, and the few people that I did care about in high school, I've already reconnected with on Facebook and have sent messages back and forth. So it's like, I feel like I could go and visit them if I wanted to. So,
yeah, I have had, I think we've had, well, let's see, I graduated in 96. So my 20 year will be coming up next year.
I'm going to tell you this. This is what this is my own casual observation. The further away from high school you get, some of you older folks in the chat room can back me up on this. The further away from high school you get, the more this seems to bear true. If you had a weight problem in high school, if you were a person that in high school that wrestled with your weight, 20, 25, 30 years later, you're pretty much the same size. You're pretty much like, you know, you're still like, you know, wrestling with your weight or whatever. You're pretty much the same size. If you're one of those kids that was like super thin in high school, or like, you know, was just average size and you didn't have to worry about what you ate, you know, you had like a really fast metabolism and everything, you blow up like a fucking balloon, because every hot guy that I saw in high school that I've like seen on Facebook now are now 700 pounds. It's just like,
yeah, that's true.
It's like one of those things. So they don't know how, they never had to worry about what they ate. So now that they've gotten older and their metabolism slowed down, they don't know how to, you know, deal with that. So they just keep eating, and they just keep eating fat. And so,
yeah, I was in the kind of similar boat to you. I wouldn't say I was unpopular. I would say I was kind of middle of the road, but I was very much band geek sort of, you know, whatever. And all I would say is there are enough people in class that I don't like that I don't want to go just to see the few people that I like.
Ooh.
So maybe, I also have never gone.
Right, maybe this is one of them calling in right now. Let's find out.
Maybe.
Hello, guys. This is David the Blue Jeans Guy calling in for the Celebrity Death Phone.
Hello, David the Blue Jeans Guy.
It seems that Catherine E. Coulson, best known as Twin Peaks Log Lady, has died at the age of 71. So I guess we'll never know what her log had to say.
Isn't that the theme?
I don't know that. I've never watched that show, so I don't know the theme.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Let me find it here. It's Twin Peaks theme.
I know that shocks everyone that I don't know something about some historical thing.
Yes. Let's never, ever talk about the movie Stonewall. Can we just admit that? Can we just like commit to that right now? Let's never, ever, ever talk about it. I think it is. I think it's very much, it's a David Lynch. Yeah. No. Yeah, it's a David Lynch song, I think.
Is my hum any better?
Yes, it's gone away.
Oh, good.
So what do we say for David? Yes? Yes? No?
Sure.
All right. Well, there you go. Congratulations, David.
That was a very tinny sounding ta-da. I don't know if that was just Google screwing up audio or...
It probably was, yes. Well, congratulations, David. You are entered into the contest for some time in the future. We don't even know when we're going to do this drawing.
We could do it at the live streaming event.
Live streaming. Okay, we could do that. Because otherwise, you know, it would just keep on going for, you know, years.
Yeah, I know. We need to do it once a year. And if we don't, if there's not an in-person event, we should do it at the streaming event.
All right. So I definitely want to talk about this last thing that we have here on the Trello. So how quickly can we get through these other two things? I can get through really quickly. How quickly can you get through Mark?
Oh, I can get through Mark quick.
Excellent.
Adam, what you consider?
I'll set it up for you. Adam, you weren't here last week.
No, I wasn't.
In fact, a friend of the show, Auntie Vera Charles, came and filled in for you last week, Adam. You were off doing some fabulous thing. What were you doing?
Well, so that wasn't what I was going to talk about. But yeah, Mark's birthday was last weekend. And I just felt like I needed to spend the entire day with him. Sorry, I had to burp. I felt like I needed to spend the entire day with him, and I couldn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to go spend like 4 hours recording and doing after show on your 30th birthday, because that's like an epic birthday, whatever. And so anyway, we went out to eat. I took him to have sushi.
Yes.
And so we went to we did restaurant of the week / birthday dinner. So we went and had sushi. And
yeah, but when I asked you if you had pulled the telephone calls like you said you were going to, you said, oh, I'm already at the theater. So clearly you didn't just eat sushi. You went to a movie.
No, we did both. Yeah. So we went to eat sushi. And then afterwards I said, hey, why don't we go watch a movie? You know, nothing else much to do around town anyway. So so we went to see. What did we see? Oh, we saw Maze Runner. So
what did you think?
Maze Runner. I really liked it. You know, some other podcast I listened to was like all poo-pooing on the whole Maze Runner thing, maybe because it's like a young adult novel, you know, and it's very similar to like Hunger Games and that other one, Divergent.
Yes.
You know, very similar. But I like those movies. I like all of them. I like Hunger Games. I like, you know, they're just kind of popcorn.
I know that fun. I actually own the Maze Runner, the original one. And then so the one you saw was the sequel.
But it's a complete like 180. Like there, it's nothing about a maze.
Okay, no, I'm just saying. I bought the first one because to rent it was like $6, and to buy it was $10. And so I was buying movies for my trip, my last trip. And so I just instead of renting it and only having a week, you know, 30 days to watch it in, I figured, oh, I'll just buy it. And if I don't get to it, then I can watch. Right. So I have it. Besides, it has the adorable Styles from Teen Wolf on there.
Yeah, you know, and that guy looks almost identical to my nephew. I swear they could have been born out of the same woman. Anyway,
Teen Wolf, which I read recently, is like a Sean Cody video without the money shot.
I wish I
could remember where I read that because it is so true, but I cannot remember where. Oh, hold on just one second. Hold on just one second. Hold on, you're watching Maze Runner. Well, I was not forget where you were. Yes, hello.
Yeah, my guys, I think celebrity birthday guest phone. Adam's internet. Dead.
Apparently RT Cruiser's internet is dead also.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what? Pot? Kettle? What?
Yeah, all right. Go ahead. So yeah, you went and you saw the Maze Runner. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that was his birthday. But the big deal was we were having a party for him this weekend. So
not just a party, but a Filipino party. One that had a step and repeat, a traditional daiquiri machine.
Right. No, that was my idea. So
balut?
Yeah, step. Huh?
Did you have balut?
No.
Did you have Babalu? Did at least Babalu come?
No, he didn't. So as you guys might remember, I was saying that 2 years ago, I felt like that I had completely ruined everything. And I cooked all this food, but I didn't feel like anyone liked it. And I was really stressed about this one because this was 30 years.
I made olive loaf. I don't understand.
Whatever. And he, you know, really saw this as a milestone birthday.
Yes.
And so I didn't want to ruin it. So we ended up planning it together, but we decided not to do... not to do any cooking. We were just going to do the decorating and stuff. So we ordered food, and actually he wanted Asian type food. So he got, which I hate this place, but he got, Panda Express.
Panda.
And I don't like any of their food, but anyway, it doesn't matter. So he got like a bunch of like noodle chow mein stuff, rice. He got some chicken, some kind of walnut shrimp stuff or whatever. And then we got, for appetizers, we got chilies. We got the little, I love the Big Mouth Bites, the little sliders at Chili's. We got those, and we got all different kinds of like the chicken crispers. Like
the Chinese honey. Culture has a great respect for harmony. It can be seen in the iconic yin and yang. Elements working
Express
together.
Commercial?
To create something greater, each one complementing the other. At Panda, we see our business the same way. Our mission is not just to create great food, it's to develop great people.
I love how they don't even acknowledge that it's called Panda Express. At Panda.
For some reason, I feel like their food tastes plasticky or something. But anyway, you know, we didn't want to go like to some 5-star restaurant because it was like 30 or 40 people coming to this party and we didn't want to spend thousands of dollars. And then I suggested...
Because you don't care about them.
Oh, whatever. And I suggested we get a daiquiri machine because I did that for one of... we did that for one of Maddie and
yes,
a party.
We remember this. You talked about this on a previous show, the traditional... And,
yeah, so I'm having one now because the woman can't pick it up till tomorrow, and we had extra mix. So the machine's running right now out on the back patio.
So it was again a failure because no one used the.
No, they did, but I made the mistake. So we went through the first batch, and it was on Mixlow. And we had gotten another container of Mix, so I thought, oh, they're really liking these, so I'm going to pour in another one. And that was about the time people were done. You know, they had had one or two, and it was cold outside, so they... Anyway, so we had a lot of extra just because of the fact that I put in a second batch. And then I bought two wedding tents.
Two wedding tents.
Because it was cheaper to buy them on Amazon than it was to rent them. Because I didn't know if it was going to rain or what the weather was going to be. And we wanted to eat outside because we don't have a lot of space inside for 40 people. So, and I rented tables and chairs. So we spent all day Saturday setting up and everything. And the party went really well, though. Everyone, I will say the only one that I don't think had a good time was Sydney.
Sydney hated it.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of children because there are a lot of families that he's friends with. And they all have small children. And children attack dogs.
All right. So here's a question for you. I'm not a racist, but how many photographs would you say were taken at this party?
You know, it was not too many, actually. He took a lot of photos of the setup beforehand. So on
you had
Facebook,
an entire house full of Asian people.
No, I know.
Were there selfie sticks?
No. There was one group photo at the end. And I think that was it. They might have taken photos, but I wasn't paying attention to like all the photos being taken, but I didn't see any self. Anyway, just for those of you who are interested, because I was so stressed about this.
Yes.
Today he says, Boyfie, I really want to thank you for all the work you put into the party.
He got our emails. We started an email campaign. We actually started a GoFundMe campaign to,
right.
For the counseling that you were going to need if he didn't like your
he thanked me for it today and said that it was really fun and he was everyone loved the drink machine and the tent. Everyone loved the tent even though it was kind of chilly and they're all Filipino and they don't enjoy chilly weather, so we ate outside, but then immediately they're all coming back in because it's too cold for them, and it was like 60-65.
Oh wow. It was cold on Friday. It was like 40 here. Let's see who this is. Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi guys. Anthony Cruiser for Celebrity Death Phone. Actor Jack Larson, most famous for playing Jimmy Olsen in the 1950s Adventures of Superman.
The Adventures of Superman.
Yes, no? Hello?
Yes. Sorry, I was taking a drink and I forgot that you don't look at me. I gave you a thumbs up.
Okay, great. It's not that I don't look at you. It's just when I play those, it covers your window. And so I was waiting to, it's not important. Nobody cares about this. Anyway, congratulations, RT Cruiser. You were entered into the contest there. I'm not even going to talk about this last thing. All right. So this is what I want to talk about, though.
Okay.
This has been on the Trello now for weeks. Yes. As you know, Adam, it is October. And
I understand that it is October.
The end of September, the beginning of October is when we get hit. We get hit, nay, slapped in the face with new television shows and returning television shows. So have you had a chance to watch any of the new shows this season?
I have.
And yes. what are your yays and your nays?
Well, okay. So we have watched Blood and Oil. I'm looking at a list of new shows, so I'm going to, because right. we've
what
watched
the
Quantico.
Fuck is, wait, what the fuck is Blood and Oil?
It is a soap opera-esque, like a Falcon Crest or a Knott's Landing sort of.
Does it have Lorenzo Lamas in it?
No. It's got, who's in it? It's,
All right. What is it? Wait, but what channel is it on?
It's ABC.
Blood and Oil.
So, dreaming of moving past their working class roots and living a better life, Chance Crawford, and Cody, Rebecca Rittenhouse, moved to North Dakota. And it's about them basically getting into cahoots with family.
All right. So did you like it or did you not like it?
I really like it, but I looked on TV by the numbers because that's like a big thing for me. I don't like to get invested in shows and then they get canceled.
Right.
So I was looking. TV by the numbers has a renew cancel index that we've talked about before.
Yes, we have.
And they're almost always correct. They have this one being shaky, so I'm kind of concerned that it might get canceled.
I see. I didn't even know what it was, so yeah, I agree with
that. But anyway, so I like that one. I've also watched a show called Quantico.
Now I have watched Quantico.
Yes.
I thought that it was so disjointed and badly done that it was just kind of like, it left me with a feeling of like, this is crap. This is like, they didn't build any kind of... they didn't let us get to know any of the characters before they flashed forward to like where things were happening. Right. And I didn't care enough about them to really give a shit at that point. You know what I'm saying? It was just kind of like, because immediately, like in episode one, they killed off one of the people. And it was just like, okay, well, so I'm
the Mormon.
I'm not invested. Yeah, I'm not invested in any of these characters because you're just going to willy-nilly pick them off. And it's just like, so, you know, so that makes me leery. And I thought the writing was really disjointed.
So I love crime procedurals, like any kind of like, you know, FBI, whatever, you know, so I love those. So I really enjoyed it.
See, now here's the thing.
I do see the points that you just made. I can see those.
All right.
But I'm gonna give it a chance because I really liked watching it.
See, there was at least three procedurals that are new this year that I liked. And this one was my least favorite. This one was just kind of like, I could take it or leave Quantico. I don't even care about this one. It's like the other, right off the top of my head, Limitless, I'm really liking Blind Spot.
See, okay. I like, I was going to talk about Blind Spot.
And The Player. Those are the three procedurals that I like.
I haven't seen The Player. I don't know what that's about. We didn't,
The Player, it's got Wesley Snipes in it.
Oh, what channel is that on?
I don't know. It's on one of the networks. Go ahead.
I'll have to look for that. No, I was going to say Blind Spot.
NBC.
I find the premise to be weird.
It
like
is.
A woman wakes up with tattoos all over her body and they're going to solve crimes or something based on these tattoos.
Yes.
And she, I don't know. I like it okay, but
I liked it better than Quantico is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that any of these are going to win any awards.
I would say Blind Spot was my least favorite procedural that I've seen new this year.
All right. Mags is saying in the chat room that he's watched Doctor Who and that's it. I refuse to even acknowledge the fact that guy currently in the doctor's chair is the doctor. I'm sorry. He's stinking up the entire franchise.
What about Scream Queens?
No, that's not in my wheelhouse at all, though. Just by the title, I wouldn't watch that.
It is so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. Mark will probably keep watching it. I couldn't stand it. Like, seriously, I don't even know what to say about it. But it's just like, it's poopy. I don't have any good things to say. I can't give you like a review.
Nope, it's poopy.
It's very campy. So if you like campy.
It's poopy.
If you like campy, then maybe you'll like it.
Okay. Nico is saying that the new season has been great. He's speaking of Doctor Who. By the way, I fell asleep during the first episode. That's how bad it was. Anyway, go ahead, Adam. Continue on.
Now, there was one I wanted to watch called The Grinder, but I don't know if that started yet. It has Rob Lowe in it.
I don't think it has.
And I think it's going to do really poorly.
Kind of like Supergirl, which I doubt we'll see more than three episodes.
But I love law shows. Like, I'm really into law shows.
Okay.
And so I would like it to be good.
How about Minority Report? Did you watch Minority Report?
Yes.
That's actually pretty good.
We like Minority Report. Yes.
That's pretty good.
I like it. It could get boring if they don't. I like shows to have an interwoven story that kind of keeps you. If they just have if it's strictly procedural and strictly just story, 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 story each episode, and they don't have some kind of theme running through them, which I know Minority Report has the story running through it.
Yes.
But something kind of, someone, you know, under threat for the whole season, you know, or someone, you know, someone chasing after them or whatever. So we'll see how that goes. If it's just story by story by story, eventually I'll get tired.
All right. Well, at the risk of just like, you know, dragging this out into nothing, let's just go ahead and any of like the new ones that I think will not see the light of day, the ones that I think will be gone by November. Well, Best Time Ever with Neil Patrick Harris is only scheduled to go through November, so that's kind of doesn't count because it's only a partial season there. I think Heroes Reborn is going to go away. I think The Muppets is going to go away. Yep. I think let's see, what is the other one? There's other ones that I didn't even watch that I think are going to go away.
I don't have a list in front. I wish I had a list in front of me, but I couldn't find a complete list.
Let's talk about the things that are returning for their seasons here that we love. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back. I think that one's doing well. The Flash and Arrow both premiere this week. So I think those will be back, and they're pretty secure.
See, I don't
secure.
Watch either of any of those three.
Right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got really boring for me after a while, but has it gotten better? Well, maybe if you always thought it was good, then fine. But I mean,
all right. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has had this problem where they tie into movies, right? And so they run into this point where they can't go any further in their story until the movie comes out. So there's every season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's been three or four episodes that you could basically just throw away because they're just waiting until the release of the movie. So like they couldn't give away the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to die, right, until that Captain America Winter Soldier movie played. So there was like three episodes before that big reveal that were basically just throwaway episodes because they couldn't go any further until the movie had come out. That's the problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is tying is a weird timing thing, which I think this season with the Inhumans, I think they've pretty much divorcing themselves from the movie without them having to do that because of the inherent problems thereof. There's a new show that I like called Life in Pieces. I think is pretty good. It's a half hour comedy. It's very similar to Modern Family in its approach to, you know, flashing back and forth between different pieces of a larger family. And that's it, I think. The Good Wife starts again tonight. I think this will be its last season.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
You think this will be what, the last season?
I think this will be its last season.
It may be.
I've always enjoyed the Good Wife. So
I watched Scandal, which I love. It came back. And I also watch How to Get Away with Murder, which I also really enjoy. They're both strong black women.
Okay. Yes, I know. You like those strong black women.
I do like strong black women. I'm a fan. You know, the Muppets, I will say, I read an article about the Muppets, and here's what I will say. I agree with this article. The Muppets is not horrible, but the tone that they have taken with these episodes is very not Muppet. It's very anti-Muppet.
I don't think it's anti-Muppet. So, I think it's, so, I don't think it's anti-Muppet at all. I'm going to disagree with you there, but go ahead.
Well, I feel like it's the humor is darker and than what a typical Muppet. The fact that Kermit is, they're broken up and he's all like over her and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. It's just, if you're watching it looking for a happy, you know, Muppets from what you remember in your childhood, it is not the same.
I think you have some problems with the Muppets that have nothing to do with the Muppets. I think if Jim Henson was still around and Frank Oz was still around, you know, doing it actively, because Jim Henson's dead, but Frank Oz isn't. But it's like, if you had the original crew there still doing it, it wouldn't be so glaring that the voices are all different. I think that's a lot of the problem, is that they're just they're carrying over original Muppets with completely new Muppeteers that you can hear the difference.
Are horrible.
Yeah, you can hear the difference in the voice, right? And
Kermit sounds nothing like
it's
Kermit.
Not even the voice, right? That's the whole thing with a puppet, right? Is the fact that like Avenue Q on Broadway, I think I mentioned this on the show when I went and saw it. It's like the person that was playing Nikki and Trekkie Monster was a puppeteer. It's like when he had those puppets on his hand, you weren't looking at him. You were looking at the puppets because he brought them to life and he actually like imbued them. You know, it's like, so even though the guy was really hot, you were looking at the puppets because he was really bringing them to life. Whereas the woman playing Kate Monster, you know, she had a hunk of felt on her hand. It's like you didn't look at her puppet at all because she was a shitty puppeteer. It's like that. It was like, what's that lady standing there with that, you know, hunk of felt on her face? You know, it's like, so I don't even think it's the voice. I think it's the mannerism. The Kermit is no longer has the Kermit mannerisms because that was very Jim Henson. That was a very Jim Henson thing. You know, it's like, I don't know if you know this or not, but the person that plays Big Bird has played Big Bird since the beginning. He's 81 years old. He still plays Big Bird. And he has an understudy that will do things for him when he doesn't feel like doing them. And you can tell the difference when you see Big Bird walking on stage. So here's a costume that completely obscures the puppeteer, completely obscures him. And you can tell just by watching that is not Carol Selby walking across the stage there, because you can see, you know, his mannerisms, you know, that's what you identify with. I think that, and at the risk of me just sounding like, you know, a crazy person, that to me is the problem with the Muppets, is that they should have just brought in new Muppets and let it go. You know what I'm saying? If you brought in new Muppets, I think you'd be good.
But I've never noticed, and maybe this is the first, you can correct me on this because I have no idea, but this is the first time that I've noticed the voices sounding different. Like I've always, every time I've heard Kermit, he's always sounded like Kermit until this show.
Yeah.
Now I'm, you know, and I know Jim Henson originally did Kermit, right?
Yes.
So obviously it wasn't Jim Henson, but this like in the movies that came out after Jim Henson was dead, but maybe this is like a third or fourth person who doesn't even sound near. And the faces, the Kermit faces and stuff look different than what I remember.
Yeah, too. He's like he balls up his hand inside of it. You can actually see his fingers inside of his, inside of the top of his mouth. Yeah, it's little things like that I think it's... That's the problem with the Muppets, is not, it's not, has nothing to do with the Muppets. It has to do with the people operating the Muppets. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Now, Taylor loved it.
Taylor, really? He loved it.
Yeah.
I'm not full. I'm like maybe a third of the way into that episode.
Taylor loved the Muppets. He'll probably, oh, and Sattler and Waldorf sounded nothing like it, nothing. Not even.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I think we've beaten that horse to death.
Yes.
All right. So that's why we talked about the new fall TV show. So I wanted to say, though, so you like Limitless? Yes?
Yes, I do. I do like Limitless. He's cute.
He's been on something else that I can't
remember. He was, and Mark told me, and I can't remember.
He was on Shameless. I know he was on Shameless.
That was something else.
I know. He was on something else, though. And
but Mark watches all. Oh, maybe he was on, no. I'm thinking like True Blood or something like that, but.
No, I'll think about it here in a second. But the thing that got me about it is I'm having a really hard time separating the female cop on that Limitless from her character in Dexter, just because she seems to be playing the exact same character. Because when she was like, oh, I have trust issues and blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, yeah, because your brother was a serial killer. It's like, she just, anyway, it doesn't matter. I can't even think of her name. Also, I wanted to bring this up because we were talking about this in pre-show. The Amazing Race has come back for its 27th season.
Yes.
And a listener of the show, Lewis, is a fan of the Little People.
We were having a discussion about that
earlier. We were, and it turns out that they in fact have
pseudoachondroplasia.
Right. And which is a form of dwarfism. And as we know, they are what kind of dwarfism are they?
Pseudoachondroplasia.
There's two different types of dwarfism.
No, it was the regular kind.
Disproportionate. Yeah, disproportionate and
dysplasia?
Disproportionate and the opposite of that?
Proportionate.
Proportionate. All right, so they are proportionate. They have proportionate dwarfism.
Yes. If you've seen them, so I asked the question on the pre-show. I don't even know if I knew we were streaming at that point. But I asked the question that I've seen little people that have the, sorry if this sounds politically incorrect, but they have the more stumpy arms and legs.
Yes.
That look disproportionate. Hey,
and as it turns out, that is what it's called. Yes, there is actually as we found out on the Wikipedia, there are over 300 different medical reasons that people could end up with dwarfism, and they're broken down into two broad types. The ones that look disproportionate is called disproportionate dwarfism. However, there are people that proportionate to their size of themselves look like normal people. They're just their proportions are the same as
Joey Buhecker,
as an average person. Exactly. Joey Buhecker is a proportionate dwarf, a proportionate little person. And there you go.
Yeah, and on the most recent episode, they actually had them crawling into a trash can. I just thought that was, that was a bit over the top. Hey, little people, why don't you crawl into a trash can?
Now, in fairness, all the other teams were doing that too. And I think the black women should have been penalized for not going and doing the other detour, because it's like there were only 8 carts, and it's like, you can't just stand around and wait for someone to finish and take their cart. No, fuck you. You have to go to the other one. I think they should.
I don't know if that's a rule, though.
They should have been penalized for it.
Yeah. Well, I am watching that, but I don't really have a favorite. Usually I have a favorite, but so far I don't have a favorite. I kind of like the news anchor couple.
I always pull for the gay person, always. Well, in this season, it's the guy and his mom. And
his
I always
mom
tend
is a gay hater.
I know, but I always tend to pull for the, I always pull for mother and sons, and I always pull for gay. So in this case, I'm pulling for the gay.
And she's kind of bossy too.
Well, she's a mother.
Well,
what you going to do?
There you go.
Anyway, Adam, let's do this, shall we?
Okay.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it.
DI Plus Technology segment brought to you by my cat. Because they know shit. If you just listen to them, they know what they're talking about. Anyway, Adam, we have two different technology things that came in this week. Let's find out what they are, shall we? The first one came in the form of a voicemail. Let's listen to it. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Adam Burns here. I have a quick question. I heard about this announcement from Google about the Chromecast, the new Chromecast, and the Chromecast audio. But I didn't get a chance to read the article. What can you tell me about what's different in the new Chromecast and the new Chromecast audio? And will my current Chromecast have these new features? Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. The new Chromecast audio. Are you familiar with this, Adam?
I am familiar in the fact that I have heard about it.
Okay.
But I wasn't paying close attention. So
all right.
I
well, then real quickly, let me just go down this. So there are two new Chromecast devices. The first one is a updated version of the Chromecast, which its primary difference between the original Chromecast and the updated one is that the updated one will handle 5 gigahertz wireless, whereas the original Chromecast will only do 2.4 gigahertz wireless. So if you're having a problem with, like, you know, it's stuttering on the replay or everything because you're too far away and you have a 5 gigahertz router, then you might want to upgrade to the new Chromecast. Otherwise, there's some design differences. It's like it's a little bit easier to plug in because instead of it being a dongle, it's got a adjustable plug so that you can, like mine, to plug the Chromecast in, you literally have to move the TV away from the wall because the dongle hits the back of the wall because it's, you know, inflexible, right? So I have to use one of the side HDMI ports. So it's an adjustable type of thing. Other than that, the Chromecast remains the same. They've updated the Chromecast software on your phone, but it doesn't matter whether you're using the original Chromecast or the new Chromecast, you will get those enhancements on your Chromecast. And basically what it does is, like, right now when you use your phone, well, that's how you interface with your Chromecast, right, is your phone. And then if you wanted to watch a YouTube video on your Chromecast, you go to the YouTube app. And if you want to watch Netflix, you go to the Netflix app. If you want to go an Amazon video, you go to the Amazon app. The new Chromecast app will bring all of those links together so that from the Chromecast app, you can see what apps you have on your phone that are Chromecast enabled, and you can launch them from there. So instead of you having to go and find those apps, it's just a little bit cleaner on the way that they do the app. But here's the new thing that they've come out with. It's a separate device. It's a separate $35 device called the Chromecast Audio. I already have. I was answering a question that you wrote in chat in real life. All right. So it's called the Chromecast Audio. It's a $35 device. And what it does is it connects to powered speakers. So any pair of speakers that you have that will take an 1/8-inch input, or if you have another stereo in the other room that will take an optical input or an RCA input, there are adapters for those. It is a small little device that runs off wireless that you connect to your speakers or to a stereo that goes to speakers. And then from your Chromecast, you can then stream music to those $35 audio devices, any of them or all of them at the same time. So if you're having a party at your house and you want to have music playing in every single room that is the same, right, then you can get these little $35 adapters that hook to your speakers or to your stereo in each room. And then from your main Chromecast, you can start playing Christmas music or whatever and basically say, play it to all of my devices. It syncs it up so there's no phasing, right? It uses the same technology that Sonos uses so that it's actually going over your Wi-Fi, but it is playing in sync with each other so there's no echo and phasing between the rooms. So it's basically a $35 device. Instead of you having to buy a $200 Sonos to go into each room, you can actually get this little $35 device and use your existing stereo equipment in each room to do it. There's a couple of things that are nice on it. It's very tiny. It's very small. Obviously, it's a lot cheaper than the Sonos. But it works. This is the important part. It works with the Chromecast. So you can't just buy the Chromecast audio and have it work. You need to buy the Chrome. You need to have at least one Chromecast to control the music going out to all these different satellite Chromecast audio devices. There you go. That, I hope, answered the question.
Can you have the old Chromecast, or do you have to also have the new one?
Nope. You can do it with either. Again, the only real difference between the new updated Chromecast and the old one is the fact that it'll do 5 gigahertz wireless, and it's a new design. Other than that, they're functionally identical. So you can, if you have an old Chromecast, you don't have to update it if you don't want to. You can just get the Chromecast audio devices and place them throughout your house. So does that make sense?
Yes. Actually, I think I may get a few of those.
Yes. You know, that is one of the things, you know, for those of you who may be throwing Christmas parties, like, let's say, traditional Filipino Christmas parties.
Yeah.
Exactly. A big mistake that happens a lot of times at parties is that, you know, someone will, like, there'll be music playing in one room that's really loud so that it can be heard everywhere in the house or whatever. The real way that you get around that, right, is by having a bunch of little devices all playing the same music much quieter, because it actually just gives a seamless kind of a background thing, but it doesn't interfere with people talking and socializing with one another. So it's like, I'll give you the difference. It's like, if you've gone to a big concert, right, in a stadium, and you know, they have the big central sound system right there on the stage, and it's really loud and echoes back throughout the stadium. And so when people talk on the microphone, between songs or whatever, they're like, hello, 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 right? It's like there's some echo and, you know, kind of like some weird bouncing around or whatever. But if you go to Disney... But if you go to Disney and you stand around like the World Showcase Lagoon before Illuminations and they make that announcement, it's this loud enough announcement. I mean, it sounds like a very loud announcement that you're hearing everywhere, but there's no echo because there's a speaker every 5 feet all the way around the World Showcase Lagoon. So it's the World Showcase Lagoon. And they do that at Disney with parades, right? They have speakers like every 5 feet that aren't as loud, but that cuts down on the echo. So it gives it a more seamless kind of an experience. So there you go. And I'm not talking about people that throw parties on their multi-level balconies. I'm not saying, you know, that they should maybe get some. But then
I'm sure they have a speaker on every balcony.
Maybe they should get them. There you go. All right. And then we got this email that came in from Joe in Dallas.
Yes, we did.
Because that's what it said on the Trello.
Oh, wait. Was it not?
It's not Joe in Dallas. But
why did I put Joe in Dallas? Who was it?
It's Lamont Cranston. I have no idea why you've decided that Lamont Cranston is Joe. But it doesn't matter. Joe in Dallas writes, hi, Daniel and Adam. I hope you're well. Why, thank you very much, Joe in Dallas. We're doing very well. Thank you. I have two somewhat related questions for you. So we keep hearing all about the presidential candidate and a personal email server. How difficult is it to set up your own email server? I know you would need to buy a domain name, but don't have a clue about the other cost or setup. What are the advantages to having a personal server? All right, let's answer that one first. There are absolutely no advantages to having your own email server.
Don't do it.
And it's a pain in the ass to set up. Here's the thing.
I've never done it, but I've heard.
Well, it's, you know, early on in the internet, you know, when you would set up your own email server, let's say you had a company and you had your own email server that was a public email server, which was quite common to do in the old days. The problem with it is that as the internet grows, those email servers have to expand because those email, remember, the internet is not a, it's a distributed system. So you're handling email for the entire internet going through your computer, right? It's like as things get routed through, they're sitting on your server for a portion of time as they get routed onto other email servers. So it's like, it becomes a huge pain in the ass where it's like most public email servers now are big commercial ones like Gmail and Yahoo Mail and AOL still, and some of the like Hotmail and stuff.
Microsoft Mail,
yeah.
Outlook.
So what happens is that you, let's say now you're in your company, like I work for Yale New Haven Health Service System. Wow, I can't talk. Yale New Haven Health System. So we have our own domain, right? We have our own internal email server, but when it connects to the internet, it actually goes through our ISP's connection and it uses their email systems to go out and back. So in 2015 on the internet, you do not want to have your own personal email server. It's a pain in the ass. It's not something that you want to do. And there is absolutely no benefit to having it on your own there. That being said,
if you talk to any network administrators, email servers are like the bane of their existence. That's like the hardest part of their job.
It is, because if you think about it, email is, you know, one of the oldest protocols that we have on the internet, right? Everything has to be backwards compatible with this email. And because it is arcane and it has been around for 40 years now, and it has had things slapped on top of it and, you know, changes that have been made, but all of them have to be backwards compatible. It is a nightmare. It is a true nightmare to get it set up. Also, you know, to register it on the internet is its own little feat, right? To get it popped into the DNS system. Anyway, the point is you don't want to do it. There you go. Question number two. I have a friend that is starting a business that's concerned with client confidentiality. He's worried about the security of email on his Android phone. Do you have any recommendations for securing his phone? Thanks. If he has a modern Android phone, let's say anything that's running, I don't know, Lollipop or greater, like my Nexus 6 is encrypted by default. So there would be no problem there. I think, I don't know. See, I go back and forth on this because to me, it's like there's a... If you really want to have secure email, then you need to use a secure email system. And you can Google that, right? Just Google for encrypted email systems. There's a bunch of different ones that you can use. But what you have to understand is that email isn't encrypted by default, right? When I send an email to you, if I do nothing, if I go to Gmail and I send you an email, that is clear text. So, which should give us pause, but it doesn't, right? It should give you pause to know the fact that when you send an email, like if I was to send Adam, like, here's an Amazon gift card, Adam, and I send him a code through email. That is not encrypted, right? It is going across the internet unencrypted. if someone were to packet sniff anywhere along the way or to anywhere else, you know, or to find like on his email server somewhere, if they were to put some kind of like a backdoor system or like have some kind of sniffer on there, they could pull that Amazon code because it's plain text. It's sitting there in plain text. Anyone on the entire internet can see that plain text series of, you know, letters and dashes going across the internet. It is not encrypted at all. It is not hidden at all. It is plain text. As I said before, email is the oldest, protocol that we have on the internet, and it is not encrypted by default at all. The fact that more Amazon gift cards that are sent through email are not stolen is amazing to me, but Amazon doesn't publish the numbers of exactly how many of them are, so I don't know what they do there. That is, you know, number one. Number two, there's a small caveat to that of everything being free on the, you know, everything being open text on the internet, which is that if you're sending email within the same domain, it rarely actually goes out into the actual internet. So if I'm at work and I'm sending someone else an email at work, right, it never hits the actual internet. It only goes through our internal email servers, which is how we get away with sending patient information back and forth within the hospital, because it never actually goes out to the actual internet. And our Outlook is encrypted, so we're HIPAA compliant there, so we make sure that, you know, our email is internally encrypted. But once it reaches your desk and once you open it, it's not encrypted at all. You actually have to take steps to do that. I don't know what kind of business your friend is in, but my guess is he probably doesn't really need to worry about this. It's probably one of those like, oh, I really need to worry about this, but you don't. Unless you're regulated to worry about this, like having to be HIPAA compliant, or if you're doing some kind of like I used to work for an insurance company that dealt with annuities and stuff, and there are some like federal regulations about encryption of that kind of stuff, which is similar to HIPAA, but it's not called HIPAA. So unless there is some kind of thing that requires you to be encrypted, it's probably not anything that you need to worry about. And that's my two cents, without knowing what exact business he's in or knowing anything else about it. Adam, what do you say?
I agree with what you said. Sorry, I was hearing a hum in my audio. I was like trying to figure out, I don't know if there's still a hum coming across to you, but now you've got me paranoid. Anyway, first of all, Gmail, again, if it's not, like you said, if it's not a business that's regulated, then you just want to make sure it's encrypted when you're sending and receiving messages. But even Gmail is now HTTPS.
It is, but keep in mind that only has to do with packet sniffing as you're reading your email. It's sitting on Gmail servers and it's not encrypted at all, right? A malicious employee at Google could certainly go through any of those servers and read your email because it's not encrypted. That's all I'm trying to say. The transport of it can be encrypted. Like when you look at, and that gets more complicated, right? When you go to HTTPS, that implies that you're talking to another computer in an encrypted way in such a fashion that no one could sniff the packets between you and them.
But you definitely want to make sure that traffic is encrypted. So when you're sending and receiving email, you want to make sure that no one can sniff that.
Yes.
And then depending on how strict, because again, we don't know what business this is, but if it is, Lamont is in the
chat room,
in the chat room saying that the friend is a doctor.
All right. So HIPAA is a concern.
And so in that case, I don't know what they are, but there are email companies that specialize in that.
You want to Google for HIPAA compliant email systems or anything like that, and they will go ahead.
Don't use Gmail. Use one of those. Use one of those.
You don't want to use Gmail or something like that, because those by default are not encrypted. So it's one of those things that you need to do. But you can find a service that will do it. You don't need to set up your own server. You could actually just find that and then reroute your domain to that server. So it's going to cost you maybe anywhere between $15 and $20 a month for an email service like that.
Well, that's the other thing. You don't want to set up, if you're a doctor and you're not technical, you don't want to be trying to set up your own server and possibly make a mistake.
Yeah, because a HIPAA violation is $10,000 per occurrence. So it's single email, would be $10,000.
If you find a company that specializes in that, they're probably going to have some kind of guarantee for you as well.
Yeah.
And so you'll be covered if anything happens, if anything gets out.
Right. So there you go.
That was only a guess.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So there you go, Joe and Dallas. That's the answer to your question. I don't know why.
I don't know where. I guess I was thinking about Joe and Dallas. I have no idea.
I have no idea why Lamont Cranston knew what business Joe and Dallas's friend was in. I don't know what that. Oh, look at that. Look at that. We have one last death call here. Let's see what this is.
Hi, this is Mike from Austin, Texas. I thought I would try for the Celebrity Death Launch. It looks like Yogi Berra passed away this morning. Enjoy the podcast. Thanks a lot.
Wait, was he telling us to enjoy the podcast? Or was he saying
I think he was saying he enjoyed the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you, Mike and Austin. Was Yogi Bear, was he looking for a picnic basket when he died? Too soon.
Hey, boo-boo.
Too soon. There you go, Yogi Bear dead.
And I don't know if you've ever called in before, Mike. I don't think that you have, so welcome.
No, you have a very, like all of our listeners, you sound hot, so I'm sure you're very hot.
You can send photos.
Yeah, send photos, please.
To contact@dubiousintent.com.
Right, there you go. Always. You know, there you go. That is our technology segment. Excellent. Let's move on to the next thing that we do when we do these things.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it.
Oh, yeah, it's news time.
Yes?
I was getting ready to play birthday songs. Oh. So a Missouri woman accidentally... No, that is not the right news story.
Excellent. Wasn't I supposed to pick them? Wasn't I supposed to
you
pick
were,
them?
You were, but you didn't, I don't
I didn't,
think.
Because you didn't tell me. You didn't remind me.
Well, you can't wait until the show to remind me that I was supposed
Adam,
to
Adam, you could have talked to me at any time this week.
You know, this is...
Had I remembered to tell you to remember to tell me, then I would have remembered and I would have done it.
A woman tucking into her takeaway dinner thought she had come across a bit of tough cabbage.
Now, already I know that this is a British story or an Australian story because Americans don't say tuck into dinner.
She was tucking into her takeaway. Yes. They also don't say takeaway.
That's right. We don't say takeaway.
We say fast food.
Right.
Yeah, she found something a little more inedible. Rebecca Kelly started pulling at the troublesome morsel and to her shock produced a whole plastic glove from a side dish of coleslaw, reports Belfast Live.
Ireland. It was Irish.
The mom of two had gotten the carry out from a restaurant in Portadown, but was stunned when she started eating it at home.
I don't get this. She should be delighted because they wore plastic gloves when they made the coleslaw.
That's true.
To me, all right, so there's two things that annoy me. Number one is security theater at the airport, right? Like this whole security theater, like we're supposed to be safer by taking off our shoes or whatever like that, right? It actually makes no difference whatsoever. Number two is if you ever go to a donut shop and they take a piece of plastic, right, a piece of wax paper to grab your donut so that their hands don't touch, so that any germs that may be on their hands do not touch your donuts. And then they put the donut and the wax paper into the bag.
You know, I've never thought of that.
So it's just kind of like, to me, it's just like cleanliness theater here. It's just like, how about we just have people that work at these places wash their fucking hands? It's just like, go ahead.
Well, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they all wash their hands. But
also, anyway. One of the prime ingredients in coleslaw is vinegar, whether it be in the mayonnaise or be extra added in there, which would kill. It's so acidic. It would kill off any bacteria that would have been on their hands anyway. Anyway, so go ahead. She found this glove. I'm sure she sued for millions of dollars.
That's that's all the story I've got.
So she didn't sue for millions of dollars?
It's not that. It's just there's this site that I get a lot of news stories from. They print part of the news story and then they put a more link. And then you have to click more to get to the whole story. I clicked more, and it's pointing to the wrong news story. So I don't have the full story of this one. I apologize.
By the way, newsflash, Auntie Vera Charles is having a herd of cattle masturbating.
Oh, a herd? What?
She is having a herd of cattle masturbating for dinner.
A herd of cattle masturbating.
This is such a kindergarten joke.
Oh, beef stroganoff.
Beef stroganoff, exactly. Go ahead. What's your next?
All right. So the next story, we'll see what you think about this one. So Matt Damon has had a rough time in the press lately, and it's consistently been brought on by his own statements. In his documentary series about the film industry, Project Greenlight, Damon lectured a black filmmaker about diversity, for which he later apologized. And in an interview meant to promote his new movie, The Martian, Damon suggested that gay actors should not be public about their sexuality. Quote, in terms of actors, I think you're a better actor the less people know about you, period. And sexuality is a huge part of that. Whether you're straight or gay, people shouldn't know anything about your sexuality because that's one of the mysteries that you should be able to play.
You know what? And if he had stopped right there, it would have been okay. But then his very next thing in the interview was like, so I've been married for 3 years and I have two kids and they're great and everything. I'm definitely straight and I like to fuck women. It's just like, wait, you just said that we shouldn't know anything about your sexuality.
Yeah, he was on Ellen. So, well, I don't know, it was last week or whatever, but we're catching up with Ellen, and he basically just said the part that they quoted here in this article, and said that all he was meaning was that the more mystery around your personal life, the better actor, or the better you can.
Yes. Here's the thing. They're actors. I don't know why we give them like this vaulted, you know, like place in society where they like know everything about everything. It's like, I'll tell you this. I love Teen Wolf. That's like one of my favorite shows, Teen Wolf. And Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf is the dumbest human being to ever walk the planet. Now, on the show, he's great. On the show, he reads lines like a champ. He's a good actor. But when he's just speaking extemporaneously, like on his YouTube channel or on any like documentary, he is the dumbest person. I'm surprised that he can get up out of bed and successfully navigate his life every day. That is like how stupid this person is. But great actor. Stupid, but a great actor.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there really, that was the crux of the story. But it basically says he gave a follow-up interview with Ellen, and he said his remarks were taken out of context and sensationalized. It says this is the frustrating part because you don't know, because it's between himself and the interviewer, actually what was said.
And I am willing to give Matt Damon a lot of credit here, or a lot of benefit of the doubt here, because Matt Damon has been a tremendous friend to the LGBT community for years. I mean, back from when he played the talented Mr. Ripley, you know, a gay character on a film. It's like he's been an incredible ally of ours. And it constantly amazes me that we are so quick to just throw our allies under the bus for the slightest little hint of something that they might have said wrong, without even considering that maybe they were misquoted, or maybe they, you know, they didn't mean what they said. So anyway, I'll shut up.
That's the news.
Thank you. Oh, that's the news. Oh, now we have to go to this.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta! So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
It's the DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play me a musical cue for someone's birthday and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words. Word mouth. No, mouth words. All right. We'll figure out whose birthday it is. I was stuck on that in my head. There you go. And without cheating, looking inside the room.
What's your word mouth?
My mouth words. My head, brain, and my mouth words. I should write this down because I get this wrong every week. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right, Adam, what is our first musical cue this week?
I like to refer to my mouth as my suck mouth.
Your suck that's, mouth? That's, your sucking mouth. Your sucking mouth.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's see if my internet is working this week.
Yay!
Or my computer. I don't know what problem I was having last time. Anyway.
Not hearing anything. Ah, there we go.
Oops.
This is Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
Yes, it is.
La da da. Let's get physical. Is it Olivia Newton-John?
It is Olivia Newton-John.
All right, excellent. There are so Olivia many Newton- more now, there are I so many you- more obscure Olivia Newton-John songs that you could have pulled.
Now, I want just really quickly, I want you to go over to YouTube.
I'm going to go to YouTube.
And I want you to look up the music video for Let's Get Physical.
Okay.
And look at the beginning of it. It is like a porn.
Yes.
There is a naked guy.
Yes.
I was shocked. This came out in like whenever it came out, a long time ago.
A long time ago, 1981. Yes.
There is a naked man at the very beginning.
Yeah, this was MTV's. Like, this is the beginning of music videos, right? They had to all try to one up each other. Do you not remember the, I used to masturbate to the Duran Duran videos when they were like shirtless on the beach.
No, I didn't. You know, I was much more strong of a Christian back then, right. And I didn't, okay, you know, any of that White Snake, Duran Duran, any of the, you know,
move on,
Mother's Milk, what, I don't know,
move on.
Okay, all right. So Olivia Newton-John, I don't know how old she is. She was born
in 1948. She's timeless. She's ageless.
All right. Here's the next one.
rules, and each round the aim is to answer enough questions correctly to reach your £1,000 target within the time limit. The fastest way is to create a chain of 9 correct answers. Get your question wrong and you break the chain.
This is the lady from The Weakest Link. Oh, it's Anne something, right?
Daniel, if you get this wrong, I'm going to have to say...
You are the weakest link.
You are the weakest link.
Oh, it's Anne something. Oh, I cannot think of her name, though. I that's all I got. Anne, I don't know.
Well, it is Anne.
Yes.
So I'll give you partial credit for that. It's Anne Robinson.
Anne Robinson.
And Daniel, you are the weakest link.
Goodbye. I am the weakest link.
So Anne Robinson, I love her. I don't know if I ever mentioned on this show, but I attended a taping of The Weakest Link in England.
You did not.
I loved it. It was fantastic.
Excellent.
And she's very nice in person. But anyway, she's 71 years old.
71 years young.
All right. Now, this next one, I'm going to tell you this is a voice actor.
Oh, is it Vera Charles?
So it's not. It is not. So maybe Auntie Vera can get this one in the chat room, but we will see. So here we go. This is a demo reel.
A demo reel.
For this person.
Gotcha.
That I'm going to be playing.
But this device is to shrink something as vast as space itself. Like, say, your mouth. Work this morning. It rushes multiple cold fighters plus a powerful pain reliever
Yardley Smith?
Wherever you need it. Oh, what a relief.
I'm sorry.
Is it Yardley Smith?
Almost 60. No, it's not, but Auntie Vera has it.
I would never have gotten that. Debbie Derryberry.
It is. Debbie Derryberry.
Yes, yes.
The other one I was going to play that you wouldn't have known is the theme to a movie she was in. She was in Free Willy.
Really?
I love that movie.
Free Willy.
I love.
He needs to be free. He's a big orca whale. He's coming to me.
So anyway, she's the voice of Jimmy Neutron.
Ooh.
And several other people. But Jimmy Neutron, I believe, is the most famous of the voices that she has done.
Is she Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
But she could be, but that was not in the information that I saw. Okay, I have no idea if anybody knows this person.
No one in the universe knows this person.
But I was trying to pick something.
Somehow
original.
They ended up on the internet with their birthday being listed.
I wanted to pick something original and someone that I thought you might know. And if everyone knows this person and I don't, it's going to make me look really stupid. But
here we go.
Here we go.
Someone is DTF. Is it a door?
Oh my gosh! Yes,
it's a door Delano. A door Delano from season 5? No, season 4 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I believe it was season 6.
Oh, that's right, because this was season 7. This was, yes. Season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
See, I knew if anyone knew, you would know. I had no idea who that
here's
was.
Here's the thing. The thing about Adore is Adore was actually a contestant on
American Idol.
Yeah, American Idol before she was on RuPaul's Drag Race. So, kind of like Courtney Act. Courtney Act actually won Australia's Got Talent or Australia's Idol before she came over here to do RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, so Adore Delano is 26 years old.
She's got hog thighs.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, hog body. She's got a hog body.
A hog body?
You'd have to see the show to get that. Sorry. It's a very Adore thing to say.
She was working in a bridal shop in Flushing, Queens.
Oh, this is the theme song to The Nanny.
It is.
Is it The Nanny?
Is it
The Nanny? Oh shit, what's her name? Mag's got it before I could say it. Fran Drescher.
It's Fran Drescher, yes. Yeah. Fran Drescher is 58 years old.
I would have thought she was older, but okay.
Well, that's how old she is.
I'm not disagreeing. Monday, happy days. This is the theme to Happy Days. Which is somewhat of an ensemble show.
I have one more theme.
Yes, all right, yes. Just the Father Dowling Mysteries?
It is.
So it must be the old Father Cunningham. Oh, God, Tom Bosley.
It is.
It's Tom Bosley. Oh, sorry, wrong one. I got so excited I hit the wrong one. It's like... Can't believe that I picked out the Father Dowling Mysteries. I didn't know that's what it was. I'm just like going, I know it had nothing to do with Fonz or the other one. Wait, that Bosley guy was in another show. What was it called? Yes.
So Tom Bosley is dead.
Okay, great.
But he would be, you know, he must have died relatively young because
he was selling trash bags well up until the 90s.
He would have been 88.
88. Yeah. Same age as my father.
All right, so our last celebrity birthday.
Would have been. Yes.
I'm going to play one you might not know, and then I have another one if you...
Okay. It's hard to remember how it felt before. Now I found the love of my life. I don't know who this is, but I kind of like it.
Okay, so there's the first one. So here is, that's a more recent song of hers.
Okay.
And here is a more famous older song of hers. You and me.
We used to be. This is somebody I should know.
It is someone you should know.
I like this song too.
Yep.
I don't know who sings it, but I like it. see, Mags doesn't know who it is either. Oh. I don't know.
Really? You guys don't know?
Yeah,
who this
don't
is?
Speak. Is it Gwen Stefani?
Well, you're clearly cheating.
Yeah, of course I'm cheating. I am. Totally.
It is Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
And she is on The Voice right now.
That's for me.
She's probably going to be the permanent replacement for Christina Aguilera.
Now Gwen Stefani was the lead singer of No Doubt, right?
Yes.
So Lewis is correct also.
Yeah, it's okay. Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
No Doubt, Don't Speak. Okay. Gwen Stefani turned 46 years old.
46 years young.
And don't tell her because it hurts.
I won't tell her.
And those are your birthdays.
Those are our birthdays. We would like to say a very happy birthday on the 29th of September to Nowhere Chrissy. Christina from Greetings from Nowhere.
Oh, happy birthday.
And on the 30th to Vance. I don't know who Vance is, but he's on Pride 48. So happy birthday, Vance.
Happy birthday, Vance.
And on the 4th, today, the day that we're recording, a very happy birthday to Hendrik from Perfume Germany?
He's from Germany. I have no idea.
He's originally from South Africa, but he lives
sexy
in Perfume
Germany.
Yeah, Sexy Hendrik from
it
Germany.
It seems he's always traveling. I don't know what he does for
he's a
work.
Flight attendant. That's why he's always traveling.
Oh, is he a flight
yes,
attendant?
That's why he's always traveling.
Oh,
he's
God. I didn't know that.
He's a flight attendant, and he has...
Pseudoachondroplasia.
I don't think he does.
He does, except they call it, in German, it's called something else. Let's see. In German, it's actually called this.
Pseudoachondroplasie.
Right, exactly.
Pseudoachondroplasie.
All right, which not to be confused with the Armenian, which
pseudoachondroplasia.
That sounds like Stephen Hawking.
It is. Who knew that Stephen Hawking was Armenian?
Just well, like, yeah, I didn't. I didn't know that.
Excellent. We have some voicemails that have come into us this week. Let's take a listen to them, shall we?
Hello, this is Artie Cruiser with a death fit. No, it actually is just toppy smelling.
Did that not, or did it not sound like,
it sounded like
Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins?
No, well, a mixture of Dick Van Dyke and someone from Jersey Shore, I thought.
I gotta listen to that again. It's going to be my new ringtone.
Hello. This is Artie Cruiser.
Governor.
With a death fit. No, it actually is just toppy smelling. Hi. Hi. I know tonight's kind of like this crazy special thing. Like that Annie Vera, that Charles, he's on your show tonight.
What?
And I
yes.
know it's like crazy.
Yes.
The thing is, I'd be listening, except that outside right now in the apocalypse, I mean the Acropolis, no, the stars above, what's that called? Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's a blood moon tonight,
yes.
And I got to be out there to see it because it ain't going to happen till after I'm dead mm-hmm. the next time. So if I'm going to see it, I got to see it now. Anyways, the blood red moon gets eclipsed. And then, you know, disaster happens, and it's, you know, anyways.
Disaster happens.
So that's, you know.
Wait, so you did hear last week's show.
Stuff that I got to see, and I just cannot listen tonight, so I'm awfully sorry about that. All right, well, I hope it's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do the best you can.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you. All right. Bye-bye.
You know, the thing is tonight, Adam, this was clearly a message that came in before last week, which would have been nice to have last week. But I understand you were busy with Mitten's birthday.
You know what? Blame everything on me. It's fine.
Oh, trust me, I will.
It's fine.
No, the thing is, it's not a blood moon tonight, however, Toppy Smelly, and I don't see you here.
That's true.
Also, I'm not buying the whole, like, this won't happen again for 30 years or whatever. It's like, lunar eclipses have happened numerous times, and I've seen numerous lunar eclipses. The only thing that made this one special was that it was in conjunction with the moon being the closest to the Earth during its, like, orbit or whatever. So it was a bigger moon. But honestly, it's such a indistinguishable difference between, like, the moon is, like, this big, and now it's this big. It's, like, really, the lunar eclipse. Also, on the internet, you can see great pictures of it without
I saw it when we were coming out of the movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that it was happening. And Mark is like, oh, there's a blood moon tonight. And I'm like, huh? He's like, look up.
I know that the blood moon as part of a trio won't happen again for 20 years, but the individual parts of it will happen many times before then, Max. That's what I'm trying to say. Also, we have the internet.
Mark set up his camera on the tripod and took photos of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that happen? How'd that work?
I don't know. I didn't see any of them.
Okay, great. We have another phone call. Let's get to it, shall we?
Hey, Adam. It's Kathy. I know I don't usually call you. Doesn't mean I don't like you. You're adorable. And
what about me?
Oh, thank you.
I hope your birthday for Mark went good.
I'm here.
Anyway, Daniel will probably not play this.
I'm here.
While
what?
You're gone, which is good because
yeah.
it's for you.
Right.
But I just wanted to let you know I'm watching Scandal. Oh, my gosh. So I just started watching Scandal. I needed something that I could watch on my treadmill elliptical just to keep
with
me on there for a good hour and a half. And so anyway, make a rule that I can't watch it unless I'm on the treadmill or elliptical. But anyway, so I see season 5 is starting,
yes.
And seasons 1 through 4 are on Netflix, and I can see why you like it. So it just made me think about it because I'm watching The Pope in New York, and it made me think of Olivia Pope, which made me think of you.
Right,
and,
because The Pope is a strong
anyway,
black woman.
Bye, Adam, and hey, Daniel.
Hi, how Kathy.
Have fun, guys.
Oh, okay.
And I love all your listener callers, your dead people callers.
Oh,
I don't even know what that means.
You know, and Kathy, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And I do love Scandal, and I do love.
Yeah, or
like
it wasn't the fact that you like Scandal. It was the fact that you the way you described it was it's a black woman that they normally dress in really light dresses or something like
they
that.
Do.
It was like,
she does. She wears white all the time. And it's on purpose. It's like it's not because she's black, but they dress her in white because she's supposed to be the fixer.
Then why bring
the woman in white?
Then why bring it up?
It's just a thing about the show. It's a
black woman that they dress in a white dress. Oh, but it has nothing to do with the fact she's black. Then why bring it up?
Like you, Kathy Bacon, Olivia Pope is a strong black woman. So I love both of you.
And the Pope. So like Kathy, yes. So what you're saying is Olivia Pope is a mixture between Kathy Bacon and the Pope.
And the Pope. Yeah, exactly.
I got nothing.
3, 2, 1.
Excellent.
Glad to be back.
Thank you. Thank you for being
back.
Thank
you for having me return.
Mm-hmm. Now you have to figure out what to do when I'm gone.
Oh, when are you going to be gone?
Well, I fly out Halloween day, but I will be gone for 2 weeks from the show. So I will be gone November 1st, and I will be gone November 8th because I don't get back until the 11th of November.
Wow.
So I'll be gone for 2 weeks.
I will find
and it can't be Auntie Vera or Joe Batanz because that's who I'll be visiting.
Damn it! Oh, my two go-tos. Well, I think
I've got a suggestion.
Auntie Vera.
I got a suggestion.
Well, I want to do Taylor the Latte Boy.
Maybe you can get Taylor the Latte Boy to come and do it for you. I think he might
maybe
be good
if he can record through the correct microphone.
Right, exactly.
I'll have him.
No, it can't be Gooch. Andy Veer in the chat room is saying Gooch. No, I'm going to be visiting Gooch as well.
Yeah. I'll do some legwork and figure out something.
So am I supposed to play this thing now?
No, at the end, after the...
Oh, after the... Okay.
Yeah, after the thing.
Right. So there you go.
Anyway, I'm glad to be back. For those of you who like me, I'm you know, returning for all of you to hear. For those of you who don't like me, well, fuck you.
Oh.
But I'm glad you got to hear Auntie Vera last week. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to fuck anyone.
It was Vera Charles.
I'm much too old for that. Right. I don't do that anymore.
Vera, the new Shemp. Yeah. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That is it's not in front of me. Is it
2x2?
2x2
DI. It's
229-234-7587. Or send us an email. Contact at dubiousintent. Contact at dubiousintent.com is what I'm trying to say, Adam.
Good. Whew. Just trying to help you out there.
I know you are.
You're
thank you.
Tongue tied tonight.
I am. I don't know why I'm tongue tied tonight, but I am. I've been sick.
Drinking, are you?
I've been sick for a couple of weeks. Today was actually the first day that I've kind of felt good. So I don't know why I'm suddenly tongue tied today.
I know why you feel good today, because it's the first day since 2 weeks ago that I was here.
Well, that's what it is, Adam. That's absolutely what it is.
I healed you.
Praise hydrogen. Good night, David. No. Good night, chat.
Good night, David.
Hey guys, this is Trepid calling the Celebrity Death Phone to report that Yogi Berra, baseball legend, has passed away.
Hey guys, this is Mags, and calling for Celebrity Death Phone. Yogi Berra died today at age 90, and not gonna lie, I could have sworn he was dead long ago because I stopped hearing about him long ago. But needless to say, it's happened, so take care.
Hey everyone, it's Christina from Nowhere, and I am calling the Celebrity Death Phone. Famed Hall of Famer and legendary Yankees catcher Yogi Berra has passed away at the age of 90. I know that most of us aren't sports ball fans. I myself am not a sports ball fan, but if you lived in America at all during the 80s, then you've heard of Yogi Berra. So I just wanted to let you know he passed away, 90 years old. Long life. Thanks, guys.
The Hector for the Death Zone. So I really thought this guy's been dead a long time, but apparently I had to do a little research. He wasn't. He just died today. And it's Yogi Berra, who was a famous, not the animated bear, Yogi Berra, the catcher for the New York Yankees. He died at age 90. So hopefully I beat Archie Gruzer. Bye.